called to clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we are glad that you have tuned in today. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about justice. And boy, is that a hot topic in today's society, you know. And God, it's always been something that is of great concern to Him. Did you know that you cannot buy your way into heaven? You cannot be famous enough to get into heaven. Did you know that you cannot be powerful enough to get into heaven? You cannot be good enough to get into heaven. There is only one way to get into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ forgiving you of your sins, cleansing your sins by His blood, and being the Lord of your life, empowering you with the Word of God, guided into all truth by the Spirit of God, and being empowered to live the life God created you to live all along. That's the same for you. It's the same for me. It is the same for everybody. There is no other way but Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So today I want to just tell you about JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any help with a construction project that involves concrete or block work, you can give the folks of JITS Concrete a call, and they can come out, take a look at your job, and see if you all can come to an agreement on a timeline and a price. They've got decades of experience. Literally, one of the guys in the crew has been doing concrete for over 40 years. I think it's closer to 50 years. His kids have, at least one of his kids, is now really pretty much the point person of that. And he's got decades of doing concrete work as well. And they are very, very good at what they do. And they do projects not just here in Brevard County, but I've heard them doing projects in other counties as well. And if you want your job done right, done with a great work ethic, and done it where you can have peace of mind, give the folks of JITS Concrete a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. So, we are going to get back to the Word of God today. I do want to let you know we have our youth ministry tonight at 7. We have our adult Bible study tonight at 7, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. And today we are going to look where we didn't quite get to him yesterday. We're going to look at Solomon. And when he first comes to the throne, what is it that really makes a difference in his life? And, you know, we talked about how when Solomon or when David was the king, that there were some blind spots when it came to his justice. He gave justice to all his people, but he experienced mercy. I will tell you this. Most of David's problems began after David's failure with Bathsheba and having Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed. That is when the dysfunction really began to manifest in David's life. It was when Ahithophel, who was one of David's counselors, ended up siding with Absalom instead of David. And so we need to make sure that we are not only looking for justice for other people, we need to make sure that we're looking for justice for our family as well, but we also need to be making sure that we are looking for justice in our own heart. A lot of times people look at David as the standard bearer for the kings of Israel, and he was. But they look at that and say, well, David must have been perfect, and he wasn't. David had many flaws. I've got flaws. You've got flaws. We just don't want those flaws to be fatal. And so one of the things that I've tried to do as a parent, this is kind of continuing on with yesterday's program, was that we didn't want any failures that we had in our lives or our kids' lives to be fatal. So we didn't want to do anything that would be fatal to our marriage. We didn't want to do anything that would be fatal to the faith that our kids have. So you will not find me talking about my kids as if they are perfect. They weren't, because they didn't have perfect parents. And we didn't have perfect parents growing up. We had great parents, but we wanted to do the best job that we could. And here's our goal for our kids, is that they'll do a better job than what we did. And so Solomon comes to the throne, and David tells him, when he comes to the throne, he said, look, you got to deal with Joab, because Joab had people murdered. He had Abner murdered, and you need to deal with the guy who pronounced the curses all over me. You need to deal with Adonijah, because Adonijah tried to take the throne for himself. You're going to have to deal with Abiathar, and you're going to have to deal with the priest, and you're going to have to deal with some unresolved issues. Okay, let me just talk to you for just a moment, and that is this: I don't want to leave any unresolved issues. One of the things that I did when I was in business was I would come in and I would establish the paperwork, the inventory, the displays. I wanted to get everything in proper order as quickly as I could, because in all honesty, I'd like to make the job as easy for myself as I possibly could. But my philosophy has always been leave a situation where there aren't any unresolved issues that your successor may have to deal with. So that is the way that I have always operated. So we come to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It said, now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. I hate it that there's an except there. Let's try and have as few excepts in our life as we can. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in uprightness, or in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Then God said, because you have asked this thing, and you have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Isn't it interesting that the concept of justice in Solomon's reign did not initiate with Solomon, it initiated with God. It started with God. God interrupts his sleep and gives him a dream, and he says, ask of me, what shall I give you? What shall I give you? Now, please understand, in that culture, especially when a new king was coming to the throne, there would be envoys that would come from all over the world, and they would bear gifts. They would bring gifts for the king. And God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, shows up in a dream, and he says, well, what would you like me to give you? Ask. Now, I will tell you this. When God says ask, don't get bashful. Don't get bashful. God would not tell you to ask if he had not already given you a heart to ask for the right things. God knows the thoughts that we think. He knows the conditions of our heart. He knows what we have need of. And he knew that what Israel needed at that point in time, all 12 tribes, that they needed justice. So he had removed all of the Shimei was the name of the guy who had called down curses, and so David had commissioned Solomon to deal with that, and Solomon did have to deal with Abiathar, and Zadok became priest in his place. So Solomon had to deal with all those unresolved issues. Now he comes to the throne, and he's worshiping God the best that he knows how. And God interrupts him, and he says, ask what you want. And Solomon acknowledges God's mercy. He acknowledges the attributes, the wonderful things that had been in operation in David's life. And he says, you have continued this great kindness to him, and that you've given him a son to sit on his throne. But I don't have the skills that my father had. Okay? David was a warrior. So he was not allowed by God to build the temple. God said, I'm going to put your son on the throne. I'm going to build it through him. And David said, I might not be able to build it, but I can draw up the plans and I can gather the building supplies. And so he did everything that he could up to the limitation that God had placed upon him. And Solomon, who later becomes pretty arrogant himself, at this point in time, is very humble. He said, I don't even know how I'm supposed to go out. I don't know how I'm supposed to come in. And you have set me up as king over your people, a great people. They're too numerous to be counted. They're your chosen people. They're your people, and you're in the midst of them. I can't do this with my current skill set. Okay? Let me just take just a moment and ask you this. When was the last time you allowed God to develop in you a new skill? I know. We all celebrated like crazy whenever we graduated high school. Oh, we graduated high school, no more learning unless you went to college. And then when you graduated, you threw your cap up in the air, you celebrated. And you thought, oh, I know everything there is to know about this at this point in time. There's nothing new. And then you got to go on the job, and all of a sudden you found out that there were some things they didn't teach you. That's where Solomon's at. I'm the king. I've got the crown on my head. The unresolved issues are now resolved. Now, what do I do? And God says, ask. And he says, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? God summarizes it by this. You have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Okay? So, We live in a day and time where common sense is pretty uncommon. We live in a day and time where understanding the difference between good and evil is more confusing than it's ever been. I will tell you this. When we allow God to be the defining factor about what is good and what is evil, it stays pretty clear. But I tell you what, whenever you get away from God's standard of justice, things get murkier and murkier and more confusing and more chaotic. Okay? The farther we get away from God, the farther we get away from the form that he created, the justice that he wants to take place, and we end up with injustice. The farther away from God you get, the more unjust things become. And Solomon says, I want justice in my kingdom. And so here's what God said. Because you have asked for this, you have asked for understanding to discern justice. I've done according to your words, and I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Isn't that interesting? He gives him not only the intellectual capacity to understand the concept of justice, but he also gives him the heart to implement justice. Okay? There is an intellectual capacity. There's a knowledge factor, but there is also the heart. And when you understand God's heart, you know, where the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life, you understand when that thing that I was telling you, that God is 100% just and he's 100% merciful, you understand that. And so God says, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart like never before and never after you. Among the kings will there be one like you. And I also give you this, things you didn't ask for. I love this. God always goes beyond what we have asked. He said, I've given you riches and honor so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. And then he says this, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, then I will lengthen your days. Okay? So how do you know when you've got it? Well, verse number 16 says this, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him, and one woman said, O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day that after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together, no one with us in the house except the two of us in the house, and the woman's son died that night because she lay on him. She arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had borne. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead is your son and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is dead, is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. And the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And, O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. And the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. And the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was with him, was in him to do what? To administer justice. Okay. Now they would not have to bring out a sword. Now they would bring out a DNA test. They would do a blood test and they would say, you know, okay, this confirms this is the mother. They didn't have that in those days. You know, it's really easy to look back in history with a perspective of now and not understand the way things that took place then. A lot of people, you know, look back on Abraham laying Isaac on the altar. Isaac was not a toddler, by the way. He was more than likely a teenager or an adult at that point in time. And say, how could God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? What an unjust God. And the truth of the matter is there was child sacrifice everywhere. Everybody was sacrificing their kids to God because that was what was considered normal. There was only one God who stopped it, and his name is God, Jehovah, Yahweh. His son was Jesus. Abraham comes and says, God's going to provide himself a sacrifice. It was a messianic prophecy talking about the sacrifice of Jesus that was going to be necessary. And that was where we learned that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. So Solomon did not have the modern scientific technology that we had. But that didn't mean that God's hands were bound, and Solomon, who had been entrusted with wisdom, operated it and said, this woman has the heart of a mother. The other one has the heart of a thief. This one has the heart of a mother. That one has the heart of a thief. And even though I cannot confirm, you know, with 100% scientific accuracy, I can tell you this, she's that child's mother. and he administered justice in such a way that that it was manifest to those around him. I want to conclude here by talking in verse number 28. It says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Justice comes from the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is not just an inner intellectual capacity. It is something that is supposed to be administered. The word minister means to serve. When you start talking about all of those politicians and all of them want to serve because of all of the perks and everybody looking up to them, they've got that thing completely flipped on its head. They're supposed to have the mind of a servant. So whenever you see people serving in a selfish manner, then they are not administering or serving the justice that comes from the wisdom of God. Solomon made one decision that came about because God had told him, "I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you peace all around you. I'm going to cause people to recognize giftings in you that they have never seen before and they'll never see again." One decision. What if I told you that one act of justice could change a community? Solomon's one act was heard about in all of Israel, all 12 tribes of Israel. But you're going to find a little bit later that it's not just one group of people that heard about it, but nations heard about it. You know why? Because everybody recognizes when injustice is manifesting. And when somebody steps up to the plate and serves with the justice of God and the wisdom of God and serves God's people, people say, "Wait a minute, there's a better way. There's a better way than injustice, and that is for God to give somebody the justice." Who wants to step up to the plate and say, "God, make me a just person"? We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
The way you sing, the rising sun, awakening the early dawn, and we're rising up to give you praise. Lord, we will sing the stars and moon. See how they shine for you. And you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song. And we rise up with a cry. And we're giving you our life.